Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Glad you tuned in today, and a happy Monday to you. Well, I'm really excited for this week because we decided to re-air the programs focused around my newest book, Your Beautiful Purpose. You know, we had such a strong response in January and February from you that we decided to play them again this week. So you're going to hear us address things like how to hear God's voice, how to take new land, how to live out your purpose, and what it means that God has given us each a specific purpose in this life. So I pray that you don't miss it, and I pray you're encouraged. And a reminder, these shows will be up on podcast on our website so you can listen to them again or even pass them on to a friend. And that website is myfaithradio.com. Today we're talking about your beautiful purpose. What is that exactly? Well, it kind of is sort of a progressive thing. And let me just start out by saying the basic point of our purpose in God is to walk intimately with Him and enjoy great fellowship with Him. The next part of that call is to do the next thing He tells you to, whether it makes sense to you or not. Do the next thing He tells you to. It's to accomplish infinitely more than you can ever imagine in Christ Jesus. It's to give Him access to your story, to your soul, to your wounds, your hurts, your dreams, your hopes. And then if you dare, it's to ask Him to do the impossible in and through you. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the wonderful things He planned long ago. We are a masterpiece. Have you thought about that lately? Have you thought about, it's so easy to default to our flaws, our shortcomings. Sometimes the idea that maybe you have more bills than you do income, all the ways that we're lacking. But Scripture says we lack no good thing. In fact, we are made in His image. We are an absolute masterpiece. But He didn't put all of this good stuff in us for no reason. It's so that we could do the great things He planned for us long ago. And so we all have a very distinctive purpose written over our lives. And so it so behooves us to get before the Lord to say, Lord, why did you create me? Why am I living and breathing for such a time as this? In fact, the fact that you're living and breathing on this earth at this time, in this day, when our culture is imploding, means you have a very important purpose. And so I just challenge you to get with God to say, what is my overall purpose? Because if the enemy can bait us into just living in reaction to our busyness and overcommitting, overspending, overindulging to the point where we're exhausted and toxic and feeling like we're really living lives of no significance, He'll win. But God has a very distinct purpose. That means your yes needs to be yes and your no needs to be no, because you're so clear, this is what the Lord has called me to do. Now, there's a second part of that purpose, and it's to do the next thing, as I said, that He asked you to. Because if you get it just a picture, let's say you're supposed to build a shelter for battered women, or you're supposed to start a foster care ministry, whatever. There's so many things, and because we each carry a portion of God's burden. But let's say you get a picture of what that looks like, right? And then you forget that your daily duty is to do the next thing God tells you to. You'll start to think that the overarching purpose trumps the day. And it's so easy then to think everybody else should buy into your purpose, that all the church leaders you know should buy into your purpose, and everybody else is a means to an end for you to fulfill your purpose. And remember, we each carry a portion of God's burden. So if we get a sense, Lord, I get a sense my next place of promise is here, but right now, tell me the next thing that I need to do. And so that really, they go hand in hand, because there are times that next thing he tells you to do will seem completely unrelated to your overall call. And that's why we need an intimate walk with the Lord. And so first and foremost, I challenge you, Lord, show me what you have for me so I can do the next thing that you tell me to, knowing if I do the next thing today, you'll get me where I need to go tomorrow. Well, you heard me talk about a DVD that I shot with this book. It's the first time I've done a DVD that accompanies a book. It's a 6-session DVD for those who want to do it in a study format. And there's times I'm walking by a lakeside or sitting on a log or climbing a stairs. It was very creatively shot, and it was really something to be a part of it. Well, here is a clip from the DVD from the first session talking about what it means to delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Listen to this clip, and then we'll open up the phone lines.
The passage I want to talk with you about today is Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, many years ago when I first read that, delight myself in the Lord and he'll give me the desires of my heart, I couldn't help but interpret it kind of like a grandma with more lipstick than lip, and she's holding a half a piece of chewing gum saying, give me a kiss and I'll give you this. And I didn't get it. Delight myself in the Lord and then he'll give me what I want. That seems so manipulative almost, until I dug in and I learned what delight means. Delight means a lot of things, but the three that stood out to me most really parallel how you would nurture your own marriage. The first one is pamper yourself. Pamper yourself in the Lord. That's what it means to delight in the Lord. And let me give you an example. When you just spend time with God, just to be with him. So for me, the way I pamper myself in the Lord is I put on worship music, I light a candle, and I lay on the couch and just let the words pour over me. I'm not going to be with God to get anything from him. He's not a means to an end. He's the blessing. He's the beginning and the end. So I just spend time with him because he's so great. Pamper yourself in the Lord. The next one I thought was kind of interesting, make sport of. And that means really to acknowledge him in every fun thing you get to do. And the reason I think that's really important is that we tend to compartmentalize our faith. We reduce it to our Sunday morning meeting, maybe if you go to church on Wednesday. To make sport of is to acknowledge what Scripture says. It's every good gift comes from God. So when you're out in a boat, when you're riding your bike on the trails, when you're on the floor with your kids and you hear them laugh, make sport of, acknowledge him in this place. Delight in the Lord, because every good moment, every good gift comes from him. And you got to know, if he pulled his hand away, if he pulled his breath away from your life, you'd cease to exist. So anytime you notice the sun peeking through the trees, or the birds flying across the sky, or your children laughing, God had something to do with it. So when you make sport of it, of him, you bring him into every great aspect of your life. And then third one, I love this one, is to remember and dream. Now I want you to think again of marriage, because if you get that down to just business in marriage, where you each have your parental roles and that's all that you do, and you don't pamper yourself together, you don't just spend time together to be together, if you don't do fun things together, your marriage will really become rote, it'll flatline. Well, this third one, remembering and dreaming, when you get into a hard place in marriage, it is good to sit down and remember some of your great memories and that you have a history together. It's good to dream together so that you don't lose heart with each other. Same thing with God. When you are losing heart, when you're losing focus on the idea that God has been involved in your past, he's totally invested in your present, and he's got a plan for the future, you need to sit down and remember. Remember the things God has done. Scripture says it over and over again. Remember the ways God has come through for you. And then dream with him. Dream about what he wants to do with your life and in the lives of those you love. And so to delight in the Lord is to get time with him just because he's worth it. He's great. To make sport of, acknowledge him in all the fun things you get to do. And to remember and to dream. Now when you picture delight in that way, really what it means is to say, any gift that comes from your hand pales in comparison, Lord God, to knowing your heart. As I said, he's the beginning and the end. He is the blessing. And it's so easy when we forget to delight in the Lord, God knows that we'll find our source and even the gifts from his hands, and they quickly become idols. When we shift our weight and our focus off of him and onto the things that he gives, we become spoiled children. And so we got to remember, even the gifts from his hand are no source of life for us. He is the source. And so we delight first and foremost in him because he's the source of life. So the verse goes, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, I was so surprised when I looked up the word give, because there were about six paragraphs of words and ways that God gets gifts to us. A few that stuck out to me, here's one, that he will mention and utter your name. So I want you to picture, you've got a desire to have a position, be part of a ministry, and it's a secret deep desire of your heart. And you say, Lord, if I could, I would love to be part of that ministry. If I could, I'd love to do that thing or play that role. But here I'm laying it down at your feet, and I'm going to press on to know your heart. I'm going to delight in you, God. I'm going to acknowledge you in my life. And you know what he does? He mentions and he utters your name. So picture as you're delighting in him, trusting that he has your address. He's got your name written on his hand. He knows where you live. And then there's a meeting behind closed doors, and they're talking about who could we have fill this role. And God, by his Spirit, mentions your name. He utters your name. And they think it's their great idea. Well, what about Lisa? She'd be fabulous for this role. And then they give you a call. And they think they're so brilliant for calling you. But really, it's the Spirit of God mentioning and uttering your name. Another thing he does is he removes from one and he gives to another. Another way he gives good gifts to his kids is he employs. He replaces. He renews. He redeems. He takes something old and he makes it new. There's really no end to the ways God can give good gifts to his kids. When I start to unpack that verse in my life, it gave me this inner assurance that, you know what, Lord, my first and foremost role is to delight in you, to walk with you. I don't have to grab for myself. I don't have to manipulate. I don't have to strive. I don't have to know someone who knows someone, because I already know someone. So I can delight in you, and I can love people. I don't have to use them to get my deal done. I delight in you. I love others. And I trust, Lord God, that you're going to get me where I need to go. Well, I hadn't learned this lesson quite yet. When I was a young mom of three little children battling a disease, I truly did feel like God had lost my address. We had so much medical debt. I was so sick. On top of that, I had, you know, some Pharisaical people saying, well, a loving God wouldn't let this many hard things happen to one person. So maybe you're hiding sin, and if you would just come clean, maybe this would all go away. Kind of like Job's friends. But I really was in sort of agreement with him, because I had so much condemnation and shame in my life, just feeling like I always fell short. I never could jump high enough. So here I am sitting on the floor, parenting my little boys. I had a numb face, a horrible memory, a very weak body. I was crawling through my days, holes in my jeans. I remember it like it was yesterday, despairing over the state of our finances, the state of my health, the state of our house. It was falling apart. And right there in that place, just going, Lord, I don't know where you are. I was seeking, I was asking, I was knocking, but I couldn't hear him. I couldn't see him. I couldn't find him. But then the phone rang, and it was a woman from our church. And she said, I've been hearing about what your family's going through, and I prayed for you. I brought your needs before the Lord. And she goes, here's what I heard. She said, I saw a picture of a platform that God is building with your pain. You're going to stand on that place. You're going to stand there and speak of his faithfulness, she said. So lean in and learn everything you can, because God is up to something good. I knew it was true. It was a light bulb moment for me. I can't even explain it. I went from believing a lie to knowing the truth. And I rose up from that place, and I looked in the mirror at my numb face. Every morning I'd wake up, my face would pulsate with numbness, my whole right side. Every morning I'd look in the mirror and see if this was the day it was going to droop, and I would lose movement or use of my face. I went back, I looked in the mirror, and I put my hand on my numb face, and I said, you will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I picked up our pathetic empty checkbook and I held it up and I said, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches, not mine. I put my hands on my three little toe-headed boys and said, you will be mighty in God someday. I started to see that God was writing a story with my life. I really, up to that point, wanted to throw my book across the room. I would peek in everybody else's stories and wish they were mine. You know, that grass is greener thing where you look at everybody else and go, why are they the haves and why am I a have not? But you know what? God does this. If you seek him, you will find him. He opens the heavens and gives you little glimpses of glory so you can see the beauty in your story. So I pray with all my heart that you learn to trust him, that he's writing something beautiful. He is up to something good. And so your job right now is to trust that that's true and delight in the Lord. Delight in him. Cultivate intimacy with him. Because you know what? Your dream is conceived in intimacy with God. And guess what? It's achieved through intimacy with God. So as you start to walk out the promises and purposes of God and your world gets bigger and your call increases, you're going to need intimacy with God. That doesn't go away. That actually increases because you'll need Him every single moment of every single day to do the things that He has for you. So your beautiful purpose, it's to walk intimately with Him and delight in Him. It's to do the next thing He tells you to. It's to give Him access to your story and your circumstances. And then I dare you to ask Him, do the impossible, Lord, in and through me. Bid me come and see if He will not hold you up and establish you in ways that boggle your mind.
Wow. Well, I just love hearing that. I marvel at what God has done. I want to know what you think. I've got 4 copies of this book, hot off the presses. And Gracie says, it's a pretty baby, by the way, because I was talking about it like giving birth, you know. Thank you, Grace. 4 copies for you. Maybe you've got a question or comment about your purpose. Otherwise, my question for you is, what is God saying to you right now in this season of life? I would love to know. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. 4 copies of your beautiful purpose of the first 4 to get on the line today. You can email me your question, Susie@faithradionet.com. So what I was saying, bid me come, something I learned about the story of Peter. He's in this boat. He's in with the disciples, and it's a storm, and Jesus is walking on the water. And when he's walking on the water, the disciples think it's a ghost. And Peter is so hasty. I love this guy. He's like, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. But you got to think about that. They're in a dangerous situation. And the other disciples thought Jesus was a ghost. So I'm pretty sure that I have the spiritual gift of suspicion, because I'm thinking, if I thought it was a ghost, I wouldn't say, hey, if it's you, would you ask me to come out of this situation, kind of dangerous, into a more dangerous situation? But Dr. Warren Wiersbe says in his New Testament commentary, when Peter says, Lord, bid me come, you know what he's saying? It's a command of a king. So in so many words, he's saying, Lord, I know you're the king. So if you call me out, you're going to hold me up. Bid me come, Lord. And I think that's such a powerful picture for us, that our lives get uncomfortable. We get scared. Enemy loves to stir up our fears and our insecurities, and he wants to keep us captivated and bullied by our insecurities and fears. But if we have enough courage to say, this is not comfortable, life's not always going to be comfortable, I'm not going to let that be my goal. King, bid me come. Call me out of this place to a place where I have to walk by even more faith, because I know if you call me out, you're going to hold me up. Isn't that powerful? So a huge part of our purpose is to please God by our faith. In fact, Scripture says He roams the whole earth looking to strengthen those whose hearts are devoted to Him. And He wants to know, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? So will He find faith in you? Are you looking into this next year so focused on, Lord, I got to live out the whole reason I am here. I am done with messing around, trying to prove myself, saving face, stroking my ego. Lord God, I want to live by faith, and I want to live a life so disproportionate to who I am that people who knew me when stand back and go, there has to be a God, because no way did that happen through that person. That is the kind of life God has called us to, and that's why I am so passionate about this message. And again, I wrote the book for women, but I even know some men who are reading it right now, and I think it would be a blessing. I see those calls coming in. I'm so glad. 877-933-2484. I'll talk to Peter here from Carlton. Peter, welcome.
Hi, Susie.
Hi.
I tuned in about 8-10 minutes ago, right during your testimony there, when you got to the part about the woman calling you and telling you that She saw that God was building a platform of your pain for your story. I just thought, boy, that is so true. You know, and I have a very hard call on my life, and I've murmured and complained and looked at other people's stuff too long. And I finally just said, okay, let's do this.
Amen.
You know, and, you know, it's only when we walk in our own call that we get the joy.
Amen. You are so right. You are so right, Peter. I'm going to get you a copy of this book unless you tell Grace if you'd rather a book that's written for men. I totally understand.
No, I don't mind, because I know other people that need this kind of stuff too. So I appreciate what you do, Susie.
Peter, thank you so much, and God bless you. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. We've got Carol calling from St. Paul. Carol, welcome.
Thank you, Susie. I had to call because every word you're speaking, when you just went through that one verse, delight yourself in the Lord, it is speaking so clearly to me. And you have helped me so much in these past couple of years or year, however long you've been on. And I've had courage in places where I never would have before. Mm-hmm. And I just feel really strongly about it that this mm-hmm. would really, I wanted a copy.
Well, praise God. And I'll definitely sign one right to you, Carol, all right?
Thank you. Mm. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you, honey, for your call. God bless you. 877-933-2484. We've got Kathleen calling from Medina. Kathleen, welcome.
Hi. Hi, Susie.
How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. How are you doing today?
Well, I broke my ankle and wrist right before Christmas.
Oh, my goodness.
And thankfully, everything was done. My house was decorated and the whole bit. And I really think that God had a plan because my daughter came home, my college daughter came home at Christmas, and she was just a wonderful person to help mm-hmm. me in so many different things. She just came, she was just shining.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really brought us close together, and I think God really had a plan. And, you know, even with me being injured, her stepping up was just wonderful.
Boy, Kathleen, you have the gift of perspective, because this call could be so different. But for you to say, my stuff was done and my daughter shined in this, I mean, because those are true things, and you're choosing to look at those things. And I love that, because we need each other, and when one of us falls down, the other one is there to help us up again. That's so great, Kathleen. Thank you. And you're going to get a copy of the book, too. So glad you called. We've got Dave calling from Duluth. Dave, welcome.
Hi, Judy. Great to talk to you.
You, too. How are you?
I'm good. Just finished a walk.
Mm.
Hey, listening to you on my walk, I was just going to say I'm a fellow who's past 60 now, and God is still using me, and I've had some struggles in this last year that have been a little stronger than some that I've had in the past. But a couple things I can remember back to how God met me in the past, and I've got to remember that, you know, that He didn't slay the lion in my life so I could be afraid of a bear. And
yeah.
But also that He's just really using His Word to speak to me,
mm.
and I'm really enjoying that very, very much. And also, too, that He's just really prompting me, you know, that I'm not fading just because of my age. That He's got plenty for me to do.
Oh, amen. I love hearing you say that, Dave. And when you get in His Word, you start to see that, you know, we have these promises in us so we can participate in the divine nature. So I know I'm realizing this as I'm getting older, Dave, that it has so little to do with the vessel. It's the treasure in the vessel, wouldn't you say? Amen, Dave. Thank you so much for your call. 877-933-2484. Becky's calling from St. Paul. Becky, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I was blessed. I just had a moment of driving here, and I heard you on the radio, and I pulled over to call because I've always, that's been my life first from when I was very young, like in the early teens, and it's always been blessing, but I really appreciate the depth of what I've learned now from this verse, because in the last couple of months I've been awakened, I suppose you could say, to emotional and financial abuse from my husband, and I didn't know that this was it. I always just accepted it as normal. And so I got to figure out a way now to deal with this, you know.
I'm so sorry, Becky. That's such hard, hard stuff. But I appreciate that you're connecting the verse to your hardship, because there is something about delighting. It's a sacrifice of praise, and it's a real act of trust to say, my heart is breaking, but my delight is in you, Lord. And I think that is profound and powerful. Can I just say a quick prayer for you?
Okay.
Father, thank you for Becky. Thank you, God, for your great love for her. Thank you that you are her provider. You're her protector. Lord Jesus, her salvation and her honor come from you, and I pray you'd redeem what the enemy meant for evil here, that you'd turn it around and use it for good, and you'd restore everything lost, everything stolen, and you would heal those deep, deep wounds in her heart. Thank you that she is never, God, ever out of your care, that you love her with an everlasting love. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, my sister.
Thank you,
hon. God bless you. I see a few more calls coming in. Love chatting with you today. 877-933-2484. Talking today about my new book, Your Beautiful Purpose, Discovering and Enjoying What God Can Do Through You. And it means so much to me that you're calling. I'm telling you, it's a little more uncomfortable to talk about something I've written versus talking to an author about something they've written. So it means the world that you're engaging in this conversation with me. So glad. Love to hear from you. We're going to talk more about what it means, how we deal with self-ambition and self-preservation and jealousy and envy and some of those things on the other side. But I also want to hear about your process, what God's teaching you in the process. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. What is God saying to you right now about your purpose, your call, your season of life? I would love to know. 877-933-2484. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I just love coming to work every day to talk with you. I feel so attached to you, I can't even tell you. Love showing up, just talking about the deeper things in the Lord. And celebrating my brand new book, hot off the presses. It's called Your Beautiful Purpose, Discovering and Enjoying What God Can Do Through You, published by Bethany House. And they're kind enough for the next 4 Mondays to release 4 copies each Monday. And we're talking about purpose, and I've got a bunch of calls, so I want to get into these. And we're going to be just talking about motivation, ambition, fear, insecurity, all the stuff that gets in the way of us living by faith and seeing God do the impossible in and through us. It is a process. In this world, we have trouble, but we are overcomers because he overcame. Sharon is calling from Moorhead. Sharon, welcome.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. I've been listening to you on the radio. The last weeks, I've been praying about a Bible study. A friend of mine, lifelong, is back in the area, and she has had a very difficult couple of years, and we've talked about doing a Bible study together this year, and I think what you are talking about would be a really wonderful tool for both of us to get the year off to a good start in the Lord.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm really, really excited. We'll be giving away the DVD on the 4th week, but if you want to get going sooner, I think you can get it. You can get it online or in bookstores or on my website. But I pray God blesses you in that. I'm excited about it, Sharon. Thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome. God bless you.
Bless you as well. Sandra's calling from Isanti. Sandra, welcome.
Hi, Susie.
Hi.
I just wanted to thank you for the things that you've been through and how God has used you to share with others and your insights have helped me throughout the years. And I just want to say thank you.
Sandra, thank
you. And also, your book is so timely right now because I'm between full-time work, I clean homes. And then with my parents not doing too well, I'm very, very busy, but I No, I've always had a purpose with hiding, hurting, healing for women, for abused women, and that has still been an opportunity for me, and the door has been open still. So, but it's a lot on my plate.
Yeah, well,
but I can't wait to read your new book.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being a woman of conviction. And I really pray that it helps just bring focus and encouragement and strength to you, hon. Bless you. Thanks so much. Veronica's calling from Brooklyn Center. Veronica, welcome.
Oh, hi, Susie, and it's a blessing to hear your voice. I just relocated to Minnesota, and I got to you on the radio last week. On my way home, I listened to you, and your testimony was so inspiring today because I relocated to help a homeless ministry with my pastor, the Spiritual Church of God, and what you said today made me to stand fast, because sometimes I ask the Lord, is this what you really want me to do? But I know in my heart he wants me to do, and he wants me to be where I am right now.
Amen. And, you know, that's so good, Veronica, because we do get opposed. When we get a word from the Lord and we start moving out, we get opposed. The enemy hates us taking new ground, and so opposition happens. And if we're not sure God has sent us, we can start to second guess in that testing time. But it sounds like you know God sent you. And then you can put up with a lot, and you can stand in those places. And
Amen.
Then the waters part, and you find your way crossing over the other side. So welcome to Minneapolis. So glad you're here and that you're part of our family.
Thank you. And I will get your book because I had the women's ministry. These are lost women, and I enjoy working with them. And I need as much material as I can get to bring to these people that's hungry for God's word. You will not believe how hungry people are. They just want to know that we are there.
Amen. Well, you are a fiery woman. I love you.
I love you too. God bless you. And I will continue listening to you, and you pray for me, and I pray for you, sister.
You got it, sis. God bless you. I love women like that. She's my friend, I decided. So I'm going to talk with you about three phases of your dream come true, so to speak, when God puts a vision in your heart to walk forward. And let me make this really clear. Some people have sort of a missional cause, you know, to start a study, to reach out to homeless. Others don't really resonate with dream and calling, so to speak. They have a deep walk with the Lord, and they impact a few people behind the scenes. And you just need to know, whatever that is, because some you can really define it and put a name on it. Others, it's to walk intimately with God and impact people behind the scenes that nobody else notices, but heaven totally notices. The point is that we are to be growing in our influence and impact, shining ever brighter till the full light of day, becoming more like Christ all the time, growing in faith. So the point is that we all have a next place of promise to take. So some it may be tangible and defined. Others it might be your next place of promise is to recover lost ground in your marriage or in your finances or to minister to someone in your neighborhood. But do know that there is a next place of promise. So that is the charge for each of us. Lord, bid me come. Give me a vision for this next place that you have for me. And then when you get your marching orders, then you'll have the grit and the gumption to go, okay, I'm going to walk forward in faith, and I'm going to trust. And you can know you'll be tested, you'll be opposed by that enemy, but you'll have everything that you need to stand. And so here are the three phases that I've sort of discovered in my own wrestling, taking on the new land that God has given me from one phase of my life to the next. The first one is a dream far off. The second is a dream up close, and the third is a dream realized. So the dream far off, that's the place where your motivations are revealed. So many Christians, I'm convinced, live and die with no sense of purpose. They're saved, but they're not free because they spend most of their time managing their fears, their insecurities, maybe even their ego and wanting to present well. So they care more about saving face than maybe that saving grace that allows them, you know, to climb mountains and put them under their feet. And I'm not dissing anybody. I'm just saying that's what the enemy wants. It's like, okay, if he can't keep you from being saved, he at least wants to make you an incompetent Christian, so to speak, where you're not fruitful and you're managing your stuff. All right. So, but when you do get a dream and suddenly you go, you know what? I'm made for better things. And this dream is far off. Suddenly it's like the sky's the limit. And you go, you know what? Anything is possible. God's word really is true. And you get all excited. And you start to see that thing far off, but all of a sudden, all your other stuff comes up, your motivations, your ambitions. And so suddenly it's like, God, why are you taking so long? I've awakened to this thing, and I want to get moving. It's like a leg that's been asleep. And when it starts to come back to life, it prickles, and you just want to smack it on the wall. It's kind of like that feeling where it's like, okay, now I'm excited. I want to go do this. And things sometimes feel like they come to a screeching halt at that point. Now, there is a purpose in that, because underneath all your motivations, there's a very sincere desire put there by God. But on top of that is self-ambition, self-preservation, all the self stuff that gets in the way. And so the delay in the process is what God allows for that stuff to come to the surface. You'll see other people in that season of life who are farther down the road. It's almost like, let's say you're infertile and you want to be pregnant. And suddenly everywhere you turn, you see people who are pregnant, right? It's kind of that whole thing, that mindset that you get. And then you see people who are enjoying the land that you want, and you may be tempted to be jealous or maybe even tempted to go, well, I want to sing on the worship team, and that person doesn't sing nearly as well as I do. Why do they get to be up there, and why don't I? Maybe you don't want to say it out loud, but that stuff comes up for all of us. So the dream far off is where the motivations are revealed. And this is where you got to trust the Lord and walk through the process that he brings you through, because he's only extracting from your life the very things the enemy would use against you later. So it isn't enough to just get to your promised land. God wants you to stand there. He wants you to be able to fight there. He wants you to be able to win there so that you can go on to your next place of promise. So this delay is a divine time. It's a sacred time. So let him have his way in your soul. Dare to say, God, search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in my life that offends you so you can lead me in your everlasting way. So be patient because God knows what he's doing with you. He is so invested in you, and he makes you wait because he's making you ready. And so trust him. And when I got a hold of this in some of these different processes and seasons of my life, I had my arms and legs wrapped around that vine going, okay, I get it now. If you were to send me out before I'm ready, that enemy would use that very thing in my life to take me out. So do your thing and have your way in me. That's that first phase, the dream far off. Well, then the dream up close, and this is where fears are confronted. So if you keep applying the promises of God, you keep saying, Lord, any day I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Any day I'm going to walk in places that God has prepared me for. And you submit to the dealings of God. You let him heal your soul. You start to apply those principles from Scripture. You'll gain forward movement in your faith. And before you know it, your toes will touch the edges of the promised land. And suddenly, it'll be within your grasp. And then you realize your humanity is about to touch this promise from God. And that's when your fears are confronted and you're like, you know, I could so mess this up. Maybe now's not such a good time. God, maybe you got the wrong person. And this is where the fears are confronted. But before you think, now's a good time, God, what are you taking so long for? Now you're like, maybe not such a good time right now. And he's like, no, now is the time. And so there's times where you feel ready and he's like, you're not ready yet. And other times you're like, I am not ready. And he's like, no, it's time. And this is when you step up and you confront the bullies in your land and you face down the giants. You confront your fears. But the thing is, where he guides, he provides. So you got everything you need to face down that enemy of yours. That's that middle phase. And it is really an important phase. And the temptation in this place is to run and hide, to make excuses. I think A.W. Tozer was the one who said, it's never convenient to be a part of something that God is doing. His opportunities come at inopportune times. But you got to want him enough to follow by faith and to step up when he provides the opportunity. Okay, so the third phase is the dream realized. So you've got the dream far off. Your motivations are revealed in that impatient process as you're waiting for God to act. But if you trust him enough, the time will come and your toes will touch the edges of the land. And it's a dream up close. And you go, okay, I could really mess this up. And your fears stir up. And you think, if, you know, this beautiful, beautiful picture in my mind of what I want to accomplish mixes up with my humanity, my impatience, my insecurity, I will mess this up. You got to know God knows who he's getting when he got you, and he knows who he's using, and he wants to use you. So then the third phase is the dream realized, and this is faith strengthened. And if you listen often at all, you know I make a lot of fitness parallels because that's my background, and I marvel at the wonder of the human body. But when you are exercising and you put a new demand on yourself, like my producer Matt, he's starting to run, he's training for a race, he's putting a demand on his body. There's times of fatigue because he's breaking down the muscle fiber and then it builds itself back up. But he's finding a new normal and he's conditioned now to run at a different level because of consistent training. Well, that's what God is doing this whole time. William McDonald calls this training time for reigning time. So when you get into this place where your feet are finally on that next place of promise and you're walking it out, your faith is going to be stretched. Your capacity will be stretched. You're going to be asked to manage more maybe than you're used to managing. And guess what happens? It's almost like your spiritual muscle breaks down what you want it to, and then it gets built back up. And suddenly you have a new threshold and a new place that you can walk in. And it's a marvel to see. And the people that live self-preserving lives never get to touch this, never get to experience it. And I do notice that these are the two things that often get in the way of us living out our high purpose in God. It's either self-ambition, where we go, I don't want the character cleansing process, so I'm going to get ahead and make a way. In this land of opportunity, you can do that. And so you're going to see people looking like they're doing ministry, but it's really a man-made, self-made thing. So you can do the self-ambitious thing, or you do self-preservation, where all of your fears win the day. And you stay in a small little place when God has a spacious place. So self-preservation and self-ambition are the ones that get in the way. In that in-between season, God helps you slay those things and you trust him more. And then your faith is strengthened to walk in that next place of promise. And then suddenly you're equipped not only to walk there, but as I said, to stand there, to fight there, to win there. And then you get an appetite for the impossible. And you go, okay, Lord, I see this now. You're a man of your word. Your promises are true. What do you have for us next? And I'm telling you this from my searching of Scripture. I believe with everything in my heart for every single one of us who call Jesus our Savior, there's a next place of promise. And it looks different for all of us. But the point is, you can't please him without faith. So when the fears are confronted, you're going to find all kinds of excuses for why you can't do this next thing, because you want to save face. You don't want to fail. But he's got you. So here's one more clip from the DVD, and it's a story called Yes, You Can. Listen to this. Something you should know is that when you do dare to ask God, do the impossible in and through me, when you dare to step out, your fears will get stirred up. And we're going to deal with that in the weeks to come. But I want to tell you a story that illustrates it so well. It was at a conference, and I was talking about the whole idea of living out your purpose and your promise, the promise of God over your life. And a woman came up to me, and she said, you know what? She said, God told me to write a book. I know I was supposed to write a book. I went to my pastor, went to my spouse. I talked to my kids. Everybody who knew me, we were waiting for me to admit, yes, we were waiting for you to get a hold of that. Do it. Write the book. She got so excited for a moment, and then she got scared out of her mind. And so she kept putting it off. But the longer she put it off, the crabbier she got. And to the point where she got impossible to live with. And her loved ones are like, please, write the book. And she just couldn't do it because she was paralyzed in fear. And so one day she's driving in a car and she's ranting to God as to all the reasons, I can't do this. I can't do this. And she's shouting out to him, explaining, you know, it's everybody else's fault why I can't do this. But really it was her own fear. At that very moment, a car pulled in front of her and slowed down and slowed her way down. And she's like, people like this, it's reasons like this, and I can't do this thing you're asking me to do. And so she picked up her cell phone, and she's going to call the police on this rude person on the road who slowed down to slow her down. And so they said 911, and she said, there's someone ahead of me who slowed way down. And they said, well, ma'am, what's her license plate number? So she squints her eyes, she looks at the license plate, and it says, yes, you can. And she's like, never mind, thank you very much. And she shut the phone, and the car sped away. She read the license plate, and the car sped away. And she said, I just knew God was giving me the message, get to work. And, you know, you can pray all day long, and we should be praying, but there are times when God has said, go. You got to go. You got to at least take the next step. And so we're going to be talking about that in weeks to come. But if your fears get stirred up, do not worry. You got to take the next step. Lord, bid me come. But when he bids you to come, you need to come. Take the next step. I had pastor and author Mike Glenn on my show a few times, and he's written the book, The Gospel of Yes. And here's an excerpt from that book. I love this. As the living Christ infuses every crevice and hidden place of believers' lives with his life, everything dark and broken is pushed out. His presence, alive in every Christ follower, changes even our desires. As we follow Christ, we begin to pursue different things. We let go of desires of our old lives and desire more the things of Christ. I don't know how this happens. I just know it does. One day you'll realize your tastes have changed. Let me tell you, my tastes have definitely changed. So here's two things I want you to do this week. I pray that you dare to ask God, do the impossible in and through me. Give me a vision for what that looks like. And then delight in the Lord. And here's what I want you to know. As you walk intimately with God, as you do the next thing he asks you to do today, you'll get where you need to go tomorrow.
That's from my DVD. I'm just so excited. You know, I don't know. I just got to say this. It means the world to me that I feel like I'm having some friend time with you. And just sharing this labor of love that we've kind of worked on behind the scenes. And I'm so passionate about this, that we each, in this coming year, I feel like the times are urgent, that we align ourselves with the living God, that we get rid of lesser commitments, get rid of the good stuff so we can take hold of the best stuff. And so I just have a few more minutes to take your calls. What's the next step God is telling you to take? Or maybe I can just pray with you. I just want to know, what are you thinking about this content? Because I'm praying it shakes you up. I'm praying it messes with you and it encourages you, because you are the object of God's affection. You are someone he loves. You are an absolute brilliant masterpiece. And I pray that you can really think on that every single day. I'm someone God loves. He took some great care in making me, and I'm here for such a time as this. I'm going to give a couple more minutes to the phone lines. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2433. 877-933-2484. The purpose books are gone for today, but we've got lots of other books we can give away. 877-933-2484. Just got an email. It says, "Hello, Susie, my friend. It's me, Rob. I shared some words with you that were on my heart back during the Share-a-thon, and I guess they encouraged you. Well, today you're encouraging me beyond belief. You have no idea how that clip you're playing of you cut to my heart. I've been asking God lately just what you said. Lord, what is it that you have for me? I've been a little confused, having crossed the big 50 lately and just wondering about life. Your words spoke deeply to my heart, and I had to stop what I was doing because my eyes were filled with tears. Susie, my heart has grown a little cold lately, to say the least, due to some family relationship issues. I've been asking the Lord to warm me back up and renew my heart with gratitude and a caring heart. He showed me that I don't need to do something big in others' eyes. He'll heal my relationships in time. I just need to tend to my own Jerusalem that he puts on my path. So today, with my free time, by the Lord's prompting, I'm making meals to bring to a single gentleman who dog sits my golden retriever when I travel. This gentleman doesn't know the Lord, and I'm convinced the Lord has put him in my life." He goes on to talk about just how God used the show today, and that thank you for touching my heart and reminding me that I am a masterpiece made in his image. So encouraging. May the Lord bless that new book. Thank you, Rob. God bless you. We've got Frank calling from Minneapolis. Frank, welcome. Glad you called today. There he is. Hi, Frank.
Bless you. Just a minute. I'm turning out the radio there. Okay. Yeah.
Hi.
Faith Radio has convicted me to take the next step, to discipline myself, to set aside the time to write the book that God has placed on my heart for the last, bit over a year now.
Time to take the next step, Frank. That is wonderful.
And it's a matter of self-discipline.
It definitely is. And don't you feel like that? When the time comes, you can find all kinds of reasons for not doing it, can't you?
Well, you know, you're right. You have fear. Fear of failure is one of those things that has for years haunted me. And, we got to cast all our fears out. We got to perfect love cast out all fear.
So true, Frank. And really, he's there to catch us. So even if we do a little bit of a face plant, it's the faith that is so precious to him. And we don't even know how what appears as failure rings true for the kingdom. So may God put that wind in your sail, Frank, and you get writing. God bless you. I'm so glad. Glad to hear from you. I think we can take a couple more. We've got Nuvia. What a beautiful name, calling from Bruno. Nuvia, welcome.
Hi, Susie. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call. I feel blessed. I want to thank you for your program. I listen lots of times. And you give me a lot of encouragement. And today, this program, I cannot catch so much, but I was able to hear when you were in the floor with your kids. So that's the way I'm feeling right now. And I'm crying to God, "God, what do you want from me?" Because I know he wants something from me. He wants something from me. I'm trying to get in the door. I'm trying to keep my heart open to him and listen to what he wants through me. And thank you for encouraging me. I think time is coming, and it's getting closer and closer. And I wanted to feel ready when he decides me to do the next step.
What I hear you saying, Nuvia, and this is exactly right, is you lean in and you listen. When you're in those places where you're on the floor going, "What next? Have you lost my address?" This is the time to lean in and listen, because there will be a glimpse of glory. He will open the sky for a brief moment and say, "This is what I'm doing. This is where you're going. Now you got to trust me." And honey, he's going to break through for you. He is. God bless you. I think we can take one more quick call here. We've got, bless you, Nuvia. So sorry. John from Coon Rapids. John, welcome.
Hi, Susie.
Hi. How are you, sir?
My spirit, I'm doing well. My spirit is just soaring as you're talking. Back in 2003, I had a dream of a mobile dental ministry with the Salvation Army and faith-based partners. And we're just right on the cusp of taking that to the next step. We've been operating a year and a half now, but it's operating like on a shoestring and a prayer all the time. And all these steps you talk about, it's just exactly where I am and have been. And I kind of jump back and forth. It's not, not one stage, and then I've cleared that and go on. But just my spirit soared with this message. So
I'm so glad, John. God bless you.
Yeah.
I love hearing practical, examples, too, of how this really does walk out. We all go that way, and you're so right. The giants still appear, and our fears are still confronted along the way. So it is a definite kind of a process that kind of ebbs and flows. So bless you, John, and may God give you some amazing breakthroughs that boggle your mind. I believe as you walk in faith, you will see that. I'm going to take one more quick call. We got Mark calling from Cloquet. Mark, welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. How are you, sir?
I am good. I'm good. I've never tried to call in before. It's so cool. Anyway, I just have a problem, I think, hearing God and knowing it's from Him and not just my own thoughts. That's where I'm at.
You know, I'm glad you said that because you speak for lots of people, Mark. And just in my layman's thoughts here, is just constantly the enemy saying that's your own thoughts. Because if you spend time in the Word and you want to listen for God's voice, Jesus says, my sheep hear me and they know my voice. And I know for me, Mark, when I feel that little nudge, I act on it, and I just get a little more clarity next time, to the point where there's times where if I'm not sure about something, I wait. But if I'm sure, I act on it, and God shows up every single time. But it's a common ploy of the enemy to say, you're just making that up. And so the fact that you have a sincere heart to hear from Him, can I just pray for you real quick?
Absolutely.
Father, I want to thank you for Mark. I want to thank you that he has a heart to hear you and you have a heart to speak to him. And so we just condemn every scheme of the enemy to create any kind of confusion in Jesus' name. And I pray in the coming days that Mark's sensitivity to your spirit would be enhanced significantly and he would feel the nudge of your spirit in him to tell him what to do. And it would be proven by the fruitfulness of his choices, Lord. We just say thank you for our brother Mark, and we thank you that you speak to us. It's such an honor, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, Mark.
Amen.
Bless you, buddy. Thanks so much for calling. We're going to get you a book off of our faith shelf for sure. So glad you called in today. So as we get ready to wrap up here, I'm going to pray. At the end of each chapter, I've got a prayer, so I'm going to read this one from the book. Precious Lord, what an honor and privilege it is to be linked in fellowship with you. I want to live with an ear bent toward heaven. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to do your will. Stir up in me a passion for your assigned purposes for me. Help me to love what you love, hate what you hate, want what you want, do what you do, and say what you would say. I don't want to throw away 1 minute of my life. Awaken me with fresh purpose and passion and give me an acute sense of your voice from day to day. Here I am, Lord. Call me out of the boat so I can walk on the water with you. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at myfaithradio.com. You can email or share it over Twitter and Facebook, and we'd love for you to do that. Well, thanks so much for tuning in today, and be sure to listen to tomorrow's program. You're going to hear part 2 of my series on my newest book, Your Beautiful Purpose. And finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He's the one to keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.